This is Pastor A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us for the message today. This message is an encouragement to all those who at any time share the Word of God, be it parents, Sunday school teachers, as we share at work. God's promise that His Word will never go out and return unto Him without accomplishing what He desires for it to accomplish. So take your Bibles and turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning in verse 26, as we see the parable of the sower, and the title of the message is, "If you don't first see, look again and again."
What do you say to a parent who has spent years teaching their child about Jesus, bringing them to church, having family devotions, and now that the child is a teenager, he could not care less about spiritual things? He is absorbed in his own selfish world, going about his way with absolutely no thoughts about God or the things of the Spirit. What do you say to a missionary who served in a pioneer area for 10 years, yet not seeing one single convert? What do you say to a youth puppet team that is invited to perform at Skyview Elementary School at their fall festival, and then they're told, "Don't do any skits that mention God"? What do you say to a Sunday school teacher who week after week teaches middle school boys who seem to be totally disinterested in the lesson? What do you say to a pastor who preaches the Word of God week after week and there's no response? What you do is you take them to our passage today in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Take your Bibles and turn. Because if at first you don't see, look again, and again, and again. God spoke this passage to me before my first mission trip to Romania. As I was thinking about going on that mission trip, I was suddenly hit with the realization, what could I accomplish that would really mean anything to those people in 1 week? I mean, what can you really do in a week that has any lasting value at all? Wouldn't it have been better just to take the money that it would cost me to go on the trip and just send them the money? Wouldn't that be more beneficial and helpful? And then as I was reading in my daily devotion times through the Gospel of Mark, I came upon this passage that we're looking at today, and God spoke to me. He not only spoke to me about that Romanian trip, but He spoke to me about my entire ministry. And this same truth that God spoke to me can also speak to you today. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 26. "And he was saying, 'The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night, and he gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows, and how he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come.'" Mark includes this parable as an explanation of the appearance of failure of the ministry of Jesus in Galilee at this time. Jesus had been preaching in Galilee, and though there had appeared to be an initial response, things began to turn around. The scribes and Pharisees, the experts of the law, approached him and accused him of being demon-possessed, being demonized, having the power of Beelzebub. His own family searches him out and seeks to bring him home because they think he's lost his mind. And so in this context, Mark gives us the parable of the soils that we're all familiar with. As the sower goes out and he sows seeds on four different soils. And of those four soils, only one receives the seed. One in four responded to the truth. And then after telling that parable, Mark gives us this parable, and Mark is the only gospel that includes this parable. You won't find this parable anyplace else. Some have said, well, this parable has to do with that one soil that received the seed, the good soil that Jesus talked about. And what Mark is telling us is that even though there may be no apparent results when we sow seed, keep looking. Because if you don't see it first, look again and again and again, and eventually, according to the will of God, you will see results. This passage today is to be a passage of encouragement to all of us, from parents to Sunday school teachers, all of us who share God's Word in any way with anybody. This parable is an encouragement to us. And in this parable, Jesus tells us what our responsibility is and what God's responsibility is. First, let's look at our responsibility. We are to share the Word of God. Verse 26, and he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. Now, the seed equals the Word of God. The soil equals human hearts. And we are the sower. There are three things involved in sharing God's Word, in sowing the seed. First, we must prepare the soil of human hearts. Now, this parable doesn't mention anything about the farmer preparing the soil before he casts the seed out. But those of Jesus' day who are listening to this parable would understand that that was implied. That no farmer who had any intelligence at all would just go out and throw seed around. He would take time first to prepare the soil, even as farmers do today. Well, there is a preparation that you and I need to do in the soil of human hearts. We don't just go out and throw out the Word of God without first preparing the soil of human hearts. We prepare the soul of human hearts as we build relationships with unbelievers. As we build relationships with unbelievers, we are preparing their hearts to receive the gospel. We need to be building relationships with neighbors. At your children's sporting events, I have found this to be some of the most fruitful places to build relationships with non-Christians. As you might well imagine, I don't come in contact with that many non-Christians at work. And so I have to go outside the workplace. Most of you will contact many non-Christians at work. But I have to look beyond that. And one of the great places is the events that my children are involved in. And particularly the different ball teams that the guys have been on through the years. It's provided tremendous opportunities to build relationships with non-Christians. And in your neighbors. God's placed you in that neighborhood for a reason. He has ordained that you live there. You say, well, I chose this house. Yes, but God gave you the desire to choose that house, to put you in that neighborhood. You ever wonder why certain neighborhoods you just don't feel like you want to live there? You don't feel comfortable? And others you just say, yeah, you know, I feel right here. God's placed you there to build relationships with those unbelievers. And then there are service clubs that you might be a member of, be it the Rotary Club, maybe the Athletic Boosters Club. And those are opportunities for you to build relationships with non-Christians. Maybe you go to a gym and work out. That's an opportunity. Because we're creatures of habit. Have you ever noticed if you go to the gym every Tuesday at 6:30 that you'll see the same people? Because they go just like you go every certain day at a certain time. And so take that opportunity to begin to build relationships. As our puppeteers went to Skyview a couple of weeks ago, elementary school, and did their puppet skits, they gave out over 150 flyers about our fall festival. Though they could not mention the name of God, they could use that as an opportunity to build relationships with those children and parents that we could later share the truth of God's Word. The latest statistics show that 75% of people who come to Christ through a personal relationship with someone. 75%. Only 1 out of 10 people accept Christ at church or a church activity. Only 10%. But 75% come to Christ through a relationship with someone. We must prepare the hearts through our loving relationships. When God placed us in our cul-de-sac almost 13 years ago, I was convinced that God had us there to be a witness to our neighbors. And the day we moved in, our neighbors in the cul-de-sac were having a cookout. And so they invited us to come over and join them for the cookout. Now, I looked out my front door and I saw them gathered over at a neighbor's house outside eating, cooking, and I noticed beer bottles in their hands. I had a choice to make. Now, do I go over there where they're drinking beer and take a chance some of my church members who don't know me might drive by and say, "Hello, preacher's over there drinking beer. We just called him. Who did we call?" "Call up Roger. Roger, you know that preacher's drinking beer y'all got." Or do I go over and try to build relationships? We went over. I told the kids to stay home. But we went over. Now, teenagers, that doesn't mean you go to parties where there's drinking in order to build a relationship with non-Christians, because it's illegal for you to be there. That'd be like me going over somewhere they're smoking pot to try to build a relationship. No, God doesn't call you to go into illegal activities to build relationships. But you may have to go some places that you would not normally go. And even as teenagers, I would not encourage that. But as you get older and more mature, then you might venture into some places that you might not normally go, that you might not feel comfortable. And that's what we got to do. We got to get out of our comfortable zone. My dad tells a story that he decided to go to college one hot August afternoon. He was plowing behind a mule. And he was plowing in what was called new ground. That was ground that had not been plowed before, and so there were a lot of roots and there were a lot of stumps. And he said, "There's nothing quite like the pain of hitting that plow handle with your shoulder when the plow hits a stump or a root." And he said it was hot. It was about 11 o'clock in the morning. And he said the old mule was acting up and he kept hitting the stumps. And the thought just came to him, "If you don't go to college, you're going to be doing this the rest of your life." And he said he decided right then and there he was not going to do that the rest of his life, because that plowing up hard ground was hard work. It was uncomfortable. So he said he took the mule to the house. He went up to his dad, who was there at the house. He said, "Dad, I've never disobeyed you a day in my life, but," he said, "I'm going to disobey you today if you say no." He said, "I'm going to college." His dad didn't say no when he went to college. But it was hard to break up hard ground. It's uncomfortable to break up hard hearts in people's lives. You'll have to go to some places that you aren't really comfortable. You'll have to hang around some people that you aren't really comfortable being around, because non-Christians don't act like Christians usually. You know, they don't use the same language. They better not use the same language you use. I mean, you better not use the language they use. Let me put it that way. We should be different. And we're going to feel different. But we need to go make those relationships. And so I began to build a relationship with my neighbors. And this one in particular, Chuck, was a former bartender. And I thought to myself, "Oh, Lord, you put me here, hadn't you?" And at the time, he was working for Home Depot. But he was just about as pagan as you would expect a family man in a neighborhood to be. But friendly enough. And so we began to build that relationship. And so there's a preparation you and I must do. But there's also a preparation of the soil that only God can do. Only God can really break up that hard ground. And before the seed will take root, it must be plowed under. It must be broken up. it must be softened. And God is the one who must do that. Well, how does God soften up the hard hearts? He softens it up through adversities, through trials, through difficulties. Usually an area of either health or wealth or finances, or children, family members. And so your health or your finances or your family get affected. And so when you are sharing with somebody, when you're building a relationship with an unbeliever and they start going through problems with family or at work or finances or health problems, you need to say, God's working. God's breaking up that hard ground. People are more open to accept Christ in crisis situations than at any other time. And so we need to be sensitive and aware of those situations. And God was working in Chuck's life. He was having pressures at home and he was having pressures at work. And his baby who was born had some medical issues. And so God was working on him. So first, we must prepare the soil. Secondly, we must share God's Word. You see, it's not enough for the farmer just to prepare the soil. He's got to sow the seed. It's not enough for you and I to build those relationships with non-Christians, but we must also share the good news with them. There's a time and there's a place. And we must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We must look for that open door to share the gospel. And it's never going to be a perfect time or a perfect place. And if you're waiting for that perfect time and perfect place, you won't get around to sharing the good news with them. Very few people will ever come up to you and say, "You know, I really want to be a Christian. You know, I really observed your life and I want to be a Christian. Would you please tell me how to do it?" Very few. Maybe never will you have that happen. So we must take the opportunity and we must know God's Word when the time comes. A simple gospel presentation, such as the four spiritual laws, such as the tract we have here at church that we give out. We're not talking about a detailed theological treatise. We're talking about just a simple gospel that they've sinned and fallen short of God's glory, but God loves them and Jesus came and died for them. And He did everything necessary for them to have heaven and eternal life and their sins forgiven. And He calls on them to have a personal relationship with Him. And we must actively share God's Word. You see, it's not enough for the farmer to have prepared the soil, to have the seed in his hand. He's got to do something else. He's got to sow it. He's got to throw it out. It's not enough for you to build relationships with unbelievers and learn a gospel presentation. You've got to go to the next step. You've got to put the seed out. You've got to share God's truth. You've got to speak God's truth. Now, we need to live it. And I believe we need to live it first. But there comes a time we've got to speak it. We've got to throw out that seed. Now, there are many opportunities and ways to do this. One is the Christmas tracts that we give out each year. You remember just a little gospel presentation in the attractive tract. And giving those out as you're shopping or giving those out to your neighbors is a way of planting the seed. The book 50 Reasons Why Christ Died by John Piper that we gave out during the Passion of Christ movie when it was being shown in the theaters. I give those to my neighbors as well, and some of you gave them out to your neighbors. Again, it's a way of putting the word out. Fall Festival. Hundreds of people will hear the gospel through our puppeteers and through the tract we're going to put in the goodie bags at the Fall Festival. Jesus of Nazareth film. Remember we spent a couple of Saturdays a few years ago going through the neighborhood around here giving out that Jesus of Nazareth film. Again, another way of sowing the seed. I gave that as well to my neighbors that I've been building the relationships with. The Passion of Christ is now out on DVD. You can purchase it. Have some neighbors over. Buy some copies to give out to your neighbors. Again, just ways of giving out the gospel. We're working on ways now to get into Skyview Elementary School. Perhaps through having the puppeteers do the Chronicles of Narnia skits. Again, a way to get the gospel truth in a way that's not so overt, but yet it is still the truth of God. The truth is, the principle is, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows abundantly will reap abundantly. So sow abundantly. I would go over and help Chuck Smith in his yard sometimes, help him do yard work. I let him borrow my chainsaw when one of his trees fell down. And, you know, when he brought it back, a part was missing. You know, you take that chance when you loan things to people, but that's a part of the price we pay. Planting seeds about personal relationships with Christ. And then we go on about our lives trusting God to work. Look what the Scripture says. And he goes to bed at night, and he gets up by day. That's another way of saying this man went about his daily routine. There was no indication that he's worrying or fretful about whether that seed is going to sprout. He planted the seed. That was his responsibility. He had prepared the soil. That was his responsibility. Now he knows that the rest is up to God. And he goes about his normal activities trusting God to bring the growth. He prays and looks to God. We sow the seed after preparing the hearts and we trust God. We pray to God and ask Him to cause that seed to take root and to bear fruit. And that brings the second truth. God will cause the growth. Look in verse 27 and 28. And he goes to bed at night, and he gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and it grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. God does the work, not us. You've heard me say it before. You and I are distributors, not producers. Praise God. It's not your responsibility to produce spiritual results. It's your responsibility to distribute the truth of God, to distribute the seeds, trusting God to bring about the growth. The farmer knows he cannot make the seed grow. The growth of the seed, the Word of God, is not dependent on the skill or the actions of the sower. It grows while he sleeps, and while he goes about his normal day, and he does not know how. The Holy Spirit who has inspired the Word is the power who makes the Word take root in human souls. And he brings about that embryonic spiritual life, and he brings it on into maturity. What a relief! What a joy! The success does not depend upon me. It does not depend upon you. It depends upon God. Do you know the number one reason that Christians do not witness, do not share their faith? And it's not because they're afraid of people. Because you're not afraid of the people you work with, are you? You're not afraid of the people you go to school with, are you? Not the ones that you hang around a lot, are you? The number one reason people, Christians, do not witness is because a fear of failure. They're afraid that they'll bumble up and mumble and stumble and won't be able to say what they need to say, and they'll just kind of blow it and make a fool of themselves, and they're afraid they'll fail, and so they just don't do it. None of us like to fail. We have an aversion to it. And when you can, you have a tendency to not do things that you don't think you will succeed at. And since nobody's got a gun to your head making you witness, and since you're afraid you might and will probably not say the right thing and maybe mess it up, you just don't do it. Guess what? It's not dependent on you. It's dependent on God. If it was left up to me and you, yeah, we would fail. But it's not left up to us. You plant that seed. You may stumble. You may mumble. You may get it all screwed up and get the last point where the first point ought to be, but it doesn't matter. God will take the seed. And He will cause that seed to take root and bear fruit according to His sovereign will for that person's life. He will accomplish His will in people's lives. We share the good news and we trust God to work His way in His time to His glory. Give out the Word. You don't even have to quote the Scripture absolutely right. Better if you do. But give that kernel of truth. God can take it. And He will take it. And He will use it. The Word of God has an inherent power. It is alive. It is active. It's not just a print on this page. The Word of God is much more than that. It's a miraculous life in the Word of God. God has placed within seeds inherent life. You take a seed, take a watermelon seed. We've all seen that. Oh, black, dry, it looks like anything but life. But you know, God has placed within that seed the principle of life. And when that seed is put under the right conditions, that which might appear to be dead will bring forth life. And it's not you who bring the life because you put the seed in the ground. No, it is God who brings the life. Now notice we do not see the growth. It's going on underground. The soil looks the same as it did before we sowed the seed. But it's germinating. The seed is germinating. The roots are taking effect. People may show no sign that God's working in their life, but that's not a sign that He's not working. We do not know how God is working. Science cannot explain the mystery of growth. We do not know how God is causing the seed of the Word that we have sown in their hearts to grow, but we don't have to know that. God is at work, and God is causing it to grow according to His will for them. We do not know when the growth will take place either. You might plant a seed, and that seed may lay dormant for years. Back in the days of the Egyptian pharaohs, they believed that when they died, that they could take things into the afterlife. You know the saying that you never see any hearse with U-Haul trailers behind them. Well, if you lived back in the pharaoh's days, you would have. Because they would build their pyramids, and in their tombs, they would take what they wanted to take into the afterlife. And that's why they're filled with all these treasures. Now, I guess that would cause a quandary for a wife, wouldn't it? You know the Pharaoh's about to die, and you're thinking, is he going to want to take me with him to the afterlife? Maybe I need to start acting up, nagging him or something, so he'll say, I'll leave her here. But one thing they found in these tombs is they found wheat grains that had been in the tomb for 3,000 years. Now you think, man, that thing's not going to grow. They took those seeds that had been in those tombs for 3,000 years and they planted them and they grew. They lay dormant for 3,000 years. When you plant the seed of God's Word in a human heart, that seed may lay dormant for years. That middle-high teacher, it may be 10 or 15 years before that seed begins to grow and germinate. Parent, it may be years before that seed that you have sown in the heart of that child begins to germinate and to take root, and to bear fruit. You and I do not determine when. God does. But we are assured that He is working. And so if you don't first see fruit, look again, and look again, and look again and keep on looking for years, maybe decades, until you see the fruit that is there. Because our confidence is in God, not in our work or in our abilities. My, isn't that great? And you know the mystery of the Word. How God's going to cause that growth, you can't figure it out. You know, scientists know the chemical components of seed. Take a watermelon seed. They know the chemical components of that seed. And they can put all those chemical components together and make a seed. But that seed won't grow. They can't bring forth life. It's a mystery. And how God is going to take your loving actions, your preparation of that soil, your sharing the truth of God, your sharing the gospel, how and when He's going to take that and cause that to grow is a mystery you cannot figure out. And when you try to figure it out, you know what? You get frustrated. You get discouraged because you're not seeing results. Farmers have to be patient, don't they? You don't sow seed one day and go out the next day and reap the harvest. You wait and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait some more. And then finally, hopefully, you will begin maybe to see a little life coming through the soil. And you hope that's going to continue to grow and then it's going to eventually bear fruit. But it takes patience. My neighbor Chuck Smith was going to be moving to California in just a couple of weeks. And so I had been spending 4 or 5 years building this relationship and occasionally sowing seed. But I knew that now was the time to give him a very clear presentation of the gospel. And we were having the cul-de-sac Christmas party at his house that year. And he needed some tables. And so I said, well, you can borrow a couple of tables from our church. So we got in his truck to drive down here to the church. And I knew this was the time. He and I alone. And so I began to just unfold for him the importance of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and what that meant and what was involved in that and how the grace of God was what made it possible. We couldn't earn it, deserve it, and just had a real good conversation with him. But he didn't accept Christ. I didn't push him, but I gave him all the information he needed. And he moved a couple of weeks later, went to California. Never heard any word. After he left, didn't know what was going on with him for the first couple of weeks and first couple of months. So we take the opportunity and we share. But you know, I was confident it didn't depend on me. It depended on God. And that God was at work in His way, in His time, to His glory. And then thirdly, we gather the harvest when the time is right. Verse 29 says, but when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Jesus said this to his disciples in John 4:35. He says, do you not see that there are yet 4 months? Do you not say that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? But behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. We are to be spiritually sensitive. And because we have been continually looking and looking and looking where we've been sowing and sowing and sowing, we begin to see some evidence of spiritual life. And then when we sense the Holy Spirit's leading, we present the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And many times they accept Christ. Now, sometimes you will reap where somebody else has sown. And they will reap where you have sown. Now, I get the opportunity to do a lot of reaping where other people have sown. Because you've been sowing in their hearts and God has caused that seed to germinate and to take root. And it's beginning to grow and they're coming to the place of bearing fruit. And they know something's going on and so they come to the preacher. And I get the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And I get to enjoy the fruit and reap the fruit of what you have sown and worked. But there will be occasions, and this is when it's really fun, when you've been working with someone for years and praying and sharing, and you get to share that gospel with your kids. Isn't that the greatest joy? To work with your kids year after year, and then that time come that you get to lead them to Jesus Christ, to see the fruit of those years of prayer and sharing the Word with them and loving them with the love of Christ. We are to be spiritually ready to reap when the time comes. Now, what is it that God said to me in that passage that affected my entire ministry? And He's saying to you today, He says, don't get discouraged when you don't see results. Be faithful to plant the seed of His Word, trusting Him to bring about the results that He wills. Keep sowing the Word. Keep trusting God, and He will bring the results. When I was in high school, I worked at our local hospital. I was the horticultural specialist. That's what they'd call it now. Back then, we just called it the yard man. And everything sounds better nowadays, doesn't it? You know, instead of being the maid, the janitor, I mean, they're the environmental specialist. But anyway, I was a horticultural specialist, and we had an asphalt parking lot. And you know something that amazed me, and it almost still does? I would see grass growing up through the asphalt. And I'd think to myself, man, it didn't look like there was any crack in it anywhere. But you know that somehow the seed got on there. Maybe a bird dropped it. And somehow that seed began to germinate. And those roots went down through that asphalt. Found their way through those microscopic holes in that asphalt. And that grass began to grow. You may feel like you're casting your seed on asphalt. That child, that neighbor, that person at work, that friend at school. And it may look like to you, man, their heart's as hard as asphalt. If you first don't see, keep looking. And keep looking. And keep looking. Trusting God. Let's pray. Father, thank You that we know that Your Word shall never go out and return unto You without accomplishing what You want it to accomplish and without succeeding in the thing for which You sent it out. May we never lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of months after Chuck moved to California, I got a call from him. He'd accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, got involved in a church. His wife had gotten saved as well. God works His way, His time, to His glory. We want to give you an opportunity to respond today as the Holy Spirit is dealing in your life. If you need to come and pray about a burden, and you'd like someone to help you bear that burden, come over by the keyboard and someone will join you. If you just want to pray by yourself, come over to the other side. If you want to talk to me about your spiritual relationship with Christ, how you can know Him, maybe somebody has planted that seed after cultivating a relationship with you, and you sense that time of harvest has come, and you want to know Christ.